Friends, this morning I'm turning to the epistle to the Hebrews chapter 10, and I'll read from verse 1 to 9. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once paid should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither has pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he might establish the second. Friend, we thank the Lord for this opportunity, and we thank him that we are listening to this sermon on such an occasion. Easter, as we all know, as we were coming from the house, we saw a lot of people dressed in white and so many other different colors, and I wish they really understand what is at stake. And these are the most important things to know about Jesus Christ and what he has done. Without this accurate knowledge of Christ and what he has done, you can never benefit from his death on the cross of Calvary. So these are very, very important things. So today we are going to look at the person and the finished work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The person and finished work of Christ. And this is what Hebrews is trying to explain to us here, comparing Christ, the sacrifice of Christ, and that of the Old Testament. So we'll be taking our time to look through as we go ahead. And the page American is there, Yebehe Yesu, Nini Pabain, the Oye, any de obeye. Adia Sadia ni Otier, any Iwiasi obaye no idea so obeye. And I make us say, one chis asking we are see ya. Emma knew who were carved, no, a home for so Emma. That is why we see so many people going to church and still we are not seeing proper repentance. We are not seeing proper Christianity. Yesterday at the university, it's surprising. Everybody you speak to is talking about this. Why? I've given my life to Christ and still I don't have control over sin. I've done this, I've done this, I've done that. They don't really know Christ. See, the true Christ is not preached to the people and what he has come to do and what we are supposed to do to benefit from his atoning death on the cross of Calvary. So this is what we are coming to learn this morning, this glorious our Lord and Savior, and what he has done for us. In the account that we read, the Hebrew, we say that man, talking about this glorious man, you see, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, he sat down on the right hand of God. You see, after he has sacrificed everything and he has come back to life, he now sat down on the right hand of God. And like I said, this is the contrast between the Levitical dispensation, the Levite's time, and all the sacrifices that were going on, as compared to the priesthood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, they were doing it year by year. They were doing it year by year. But Christ, he said, by one offering, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. He has done it once and for us. So it is very important to understand what Christ has done. And the second thing we learn is that all the sacrificial things they were doing, they were all ceremonial. And as we read, you see, the blood of animals can never take away our sin. The blood that is needed to cleanse it from our sins must be a divine blood, must be a blood of a sinless person. And it is only in Christ that we can see, we can have that blood. So His death shall remain sufficient and alone forever and ever. And if you trust in it, if you trust in his death, you will be saved from the wrath to come. All the promises of God will apply to you in this life before that day comes. But if you don't understand these things, you can never apply the promises to your life. So we are going to look at his glorious person, who he is, as I said, and his glorious work, the work that he has done. We are going to see the wonders of redemption, how wonderful it is. And we are also going to see his love, the love that Christ has for sinners. And we are also going to see the complete putting away of sin. He has put away sin completely. And also the work that he has completed once and for all. If you look at verse 12, as I just said, he said, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down." He sat down. In the old dispensation, especially in Leviticus, Exodus, and Numbers, all of them, there's no mention of a chair. If you read carefully, all the furniture there, they never mention a chair. And what does it mean? The priest could not sit down even if they wanted. Why? Because their work was not complete. They could not sit down because their work was not complete. They have to do it year by year. Christ, after he has offered, sat down. And he now sits by the right hand side of God and pleads on our behalf. So Christ's death is completely different from what we are seeing in the Old Testament. And that is exactly what Hebrews is saying. Hebrews is trying to explain the better sacrifice as compared to the earlier sacrifice. And it's very important. These are the things that we must know so that we can know what Christ has done for us. In our dispensation, our Reformed dispensation, there's a saying that Scripture interprets Scripture. So for us to know more about this person of Christ and his work, we'll be turning to other Scriptures to prove what Christ has done. So please turn with me to Revelation chapter 4. Sorry, chapter 1 and verse 4. Revelation chapter 1. I'll be reading from verse 1 to 6, and we'll take some lessons from them. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to shew unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. You see, here you see another description of our Lord and Savior and what he has done. We'll digest this very one, and we will come to understand. You see, John is saying to the seven churches which are in Asia, he began by the usual greeting, grace and peace unto you. Grace be unto you and peace. And then he said, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And then he said, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. You see, the verse 4 is talking about John is praying for these churches, and he's asking for grace and peace for them. And Like I said, we have similar greetings, especially by the Apostle Paul, in most of the New Testament. Grace to you and peace. It's very, very, very common there. But what is grace? When we talk of grace, what is grace? Even after our Lord and Savior, he has come back from life, the first thing he said, peace be unto you. So grace, as we know, is an unmerited favor that God gives to us. A favor that we don't deserve. Because we are rebels, we are enemies of God, and yet he gives us grace. So grace is something that we can never work for. We are not even worthy of it, and then he gives us. And it's an attitude of kindness and graciousness that God gives to us. And when we come to peace, peace is like calmness. When there's peace, when you have a peace of mind, and we know that Christ is the Prince of Peace. But then this greeting that we are talking about, the greeting of peace and grace and whatever it is, who is it going to come from? According to John here. You see how the lengthy description of who this grace is going to come from, the Trinity. He mentioned the Father, the Spirit, and the Son all together in complete harmony. That is the source of this peace and grace. But let's take each one individually and see how he mentioned them. First, John mentions in verse 4 that this grace and peace is coming from him who is and who was and who is to come. That is God the Father. He is the God of yesterday, today, and forever. So he is talking about the Almighty himself. And then he also talks about in the grace and peace is from the Holy Spirit. And see how he says. He says from the seven spirits who are before his throne. And this is a very unique way of to refer to the Holy Spirit. So John is saying grace and peace to you from the Father, from the Spirit, and from Jesus. And then when he came to Jesus, the third person of the Trinity, look at how he describes him. Notice there are some three differences in how he describes our Lord and Savior as compared to the Father and the Holy Spirit. Jesus is identified, he says, by his name, whereas the Father and the Holy Spirit are described symbolically. If you look at verse 4, John doesn't say from the Father and the Holy Spirit. See, the order is different here. Normally, it goes Father, Son, and the Spirit. But this time, it goes Father, Spirit, and Son. So here you see that John wants to say more about him. He says a lot about Christ than the other persons of the Trinity. So why would John do this? Why would he describe spend more time with Jesus than with God and the Holy Spirit? Friends, you know that the whole book of Revelation is about Jesus Christ. In fact, the whole Bible is about him. But Revelation is how he was revealed. That's why he said those who believe in these things, he gave promise to those who believe in this. This is the truth about this life. He describes Christ exactly as he is. And now, let's break down how he describes Christ. Now, he starts by saying that he is the faithful witness. That we have his first office, the faithful witness. He is the ultimate and the prophet of God. God himself in the flesh. So he calls him the faithful witness. When we say a witness, who is a witness? A witness is somebody who has seen something and is reporting about what he has seen. Somebody who has been at an event or at a place and seen what is happening there and is reporting to other people. And that's why he's referring to Christ. Christ is the only one who has seen God, who has come from God. And his saying is the only truth. That's why he called him a faithful witness. The problem that we have in this world is now, most witnesses don't tell the truth. We don't have the truth in this world. Many, many people, religious leaders and institutions are all lying. And it's a very dangerous thing when you don't hear the truth. So people like them, you can never trust their testimonies. You can never trust their witnesses. Like I said, a witness is somebody who has seen something and is reporting. Christ is the one who has seen and is reporting. And yet, many people, their testimonies or witnesses can never be relied on. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 5 says that a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. But notice here, Christ is called a faithful witness. So he will never lie. And it's only when you pay attention to what he has said that you can really benefit from what he has done. So this is referring to his ministry on earth. That is the truth. He is a faithful witness. How he came to witness about God and about life. Why we are seeing what we are seeing. How to be able to be saved from this and how to get to heaven. He is the witness to it. And he is the faithful witness. In John chapter 12, verse 49-50, he said, "For I have not spoken of myself," that's Christ, "but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." He's speaking of the truth as he has heard from the Father. So everything that is revealed here about him can be trusted. And in John chapter 18, verse 37, Jesus also said, when Pilate was asking him and said, "Are thou a king?" Then Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." The problem we face in this world is that the world is full of false witnesses. And that is the number one danger we are facing. In fact, when Christ was prophesying and warning about the destruction of this world, he didn't say it is wars that will cause it. He didn't say it's the economic crisis that will cause it. He said it will be a lie. It is the lie that will bring this world into an end. And it began from Satan himself. The first lie. When God said, "Don't eat of this fruit," he came to lie and said, "If you eat this fruit, you will not surely die." And we all know, we all can testify to the causes of this lie. All the problems we are seeing in this world, like I said, the wars, the economic difficulties, the political difficulties, all of them came from a lie. So lies is our number one enemy. Satan is lying. Science is lying. Science is talking about evolution. When God is talking about creation. And it's a very serious thing. See, we are living in a world of lies. Christ is the only true witness. Philosophy is lying. Philosophy is saying that there's no hell or judgment. When the true word of God says there's judgment to come, it's appointed unto man to die once, after death there's judgment. And yet, philosophy is saying that there's no hell. There's no judgment. We have false religions. People saying it is through good works that you can please God. When the Bible says you can never please God, as we have even read today, you can never please God. It is only by grace or merited favor. Yet, false religion is saying that good works, Muslims and all the other churches that you are seeing, Hindus, it's by your works, what you can do. When it comes to even our own Christianity, where we're supposed to speak the truth. What are they talking about now? Now the whole thing is about signs and wonders. And trying to misinterpret what the Bible means by signs and wonders. And even which people had the power to perform these signs and wonders. It is a serious thing. We are living in a world of lies. Lies by the enemy of our souls. Lies by science, by philosophy, by false religions, by our political leaders, about our chiefs, our kings, they are all lying. And like Proverbs said, it is a serious thing to lie on a lie. So the world is in a very serious situation. All these people are lying. And they will deceive those who trust in them. and it's therefore a disaster to believe a lie. Like I said, Jesus warned about the danger about deception. He didn't say about any other thing that we call the end of the day. He said deception. That is the problem. And we must know that deception is a far more dangerous thing. So unless we understand Christ and his work on the cross of Calvary, there's nothing we can do. As my man can tin na no, the person said Hebrews said the Jesus ni papa any the obeye. Na ma san so a technical revelation ni any baby I can Jesus hun sem nyina. E church said the Jesus tie any na dwuma obeye. Na revelation no all start here no all church said the Jesus tie no. O say ono ni ono kwafo obi a wodi asem bi ho adanse e no kre. O dance ni a all ken no kre. Any Jesus. And I make us a real care away mono. Anything near Chantro, Satan is starting here. Would you get Chantro, Adam and Eve? Say more or more, you're not a young Pokas or Munion, or so on could dear the young Pok and any other crew. And only a net, you be. It's yes, all my warning, as all kind of say, the DVS say, you know, and yet a con, and yet Sikasem, and you, Yania daddy, a young tro, and the DVS say, you ever. And then I make us say, Satan di ka e twa ntro no science ah yesu ye mai esua e wo school no e che se e wi asu ikwa no yakopon ne boye na eno ane e bae ntro ba ko a e wo kon so no en na philosophy ah yesu ye kwara e esua enso che se hell bi eni ho judgment bi eni ho o bo obra se de wa wo okupe ansana aba en sorry ahodo a aba ene obi e ka se foforo obi eni ho no ma wo kan ne kra yesu e kan yi na Yesu ka se we nu na di e be se ye beba e be se obi a odi wani ato entro so no e be du hwamo e se entro enye no kre. So deception is our number one enemy, and that is the problem we are facing now. Science is lying, our religious leaders are lying, people are saying that all roads to leads to God. So when Christ is saying that I'm the way, the truth and the life, they say no, you can go through other means too. When God is saying that remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, people think no, but they can do otherwise, and it is a danger to the world now. In Matthew 24 verses 4 and 5, we don't have time to read because our time is running, but you can read it at your own time. Christ warned about the deception, about false messiahs and false teachings. People will come and say that I am the Lord, I am the Jesus, and it is not him. And that is what we are seeing now. Many people are claiming to be messiahs, and then we are having false teaching. People are watering down the gospel. People are not speaking the truth. Yes, you can start Matthew 24 verse 4 and 5 or say omo be twentro omo nka asem no se de tie omo be kan asem no ne mo ne chechee mu no omo be chee mu abra entisa. So religious leaders are lying, politicians are lying, then our traditional leaders and even Christian pastors are also lying. So the world is full of empty promises. You see our politicians, when they are campaigning, what do they say? They campaign that they are going to bring peace for you to be okay financially. In the end, what did they bring? Wars. Look at what is happening in America now. You know how much one bomb cost? One bomb. Billions of dollars. And yet this is being used to fight a war that is not true. We saw the same thing at the time of Saddam Hussein. When they lied that he was having nuclear weapons, in the end there was nothing there. And look at the amount of money that was spent in fighting this war. When people are starving. Politicians have come and their campaign is that they want to bring a speed. In the end, when they get the power, it is now wars that they bring to us. The wealthy people also promise that they will help us in our finances. But when they come, they rather make us poor so that they can continue to be rich. So we are living in a world of lies. Our media men are the worst. They are publishing falsehood. To support our politicians. In the Matthew 24 verse 24, Christ said, "For there shall rise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. This is dangerous. It can come to a point that even though that are elect for their predestined to be saved, the devil can deceive them. But Christ is the faithful witness, and those who follow and trust in him would never be disappointed. John 1:18 says, "No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." So Jesus has a personal relationship with God, and he is the only one that we can trust. And it is a great comfort to know that we are not believing and trusting a lie if we believe in Christ and do as he has said. And when Christ came, what was his first preaching? His first preaching: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That's what he preached on. And when you say repent, it means you are in a situation that is not good for you, or you are heading towards danger. So repent. The whole world is heading towards danger because of deception. Not until we repent and turn unto the true witness, we can never, never, never be saved. Let me rush on the second description of Christ. He said he is the first begotten from the dead. The first begotten from the dead. And this is in reference to his resurrection. So, this also proved that the witness he came to give has the power to conquer death. Christ died, was buried, and came back to life again. That's why he said he is the first begotten Son. When he says first, then it means there are so many to come. So we can trust in him that if we believe in him and trust in him, we too will have a resurrection. We too will come back to life when we die and be with him wherever he is. That's why he is called the first begotten Son. And it is also a proof that if Christ had a sin in him, he would never have come back to life. He would have died, and that would be the end. But he came back to life, which proves that his witness is true. And that witness that he came to bear, repenting and committing your life to him, has the power to conquer death. Death is mankind's number one problem, and Christ has conquered it. And this resurrection proved that his witness was true. And his teaching is also trustworthy. Because why? Because it can produce the victory over death, our number one enemy and our one problem. So the truth that he preached was the solution to the greatest problem faced by mankind, which is death. And Jesus declared death. He defeated death in his resurrection. That's why he is the first begotten Son. And if we also believe in him, we can also have the resurrection Son. Because there are many more to come. Otherwise, he wouldn't say he is the first. There are more to come. And who are those more? It's those who believe in him. We who hear his word and believe in him. So, to have the Lord who has conquered death and who has also obtained victory over death, it makes him and Christ an incomparable, glorious Lord. There's no hope or no comfort anywhere than in Christ. Yesu, adeba kwa wamsa kanon se, apart from some so ye, and the prayer for obedi a seven hun and the prayer, or sa can say, or no new beer would decay or solely free a fool. Now, sa se mo ni emi ye fun se, se or no new beer would decay free a fool dia, in fact, be free a fool. And no ye omwa on beginedi, said or no free mobile, sa han yon si bit me a free mobile. And I miss answer can work as a, oh, ye know to me sorry any tea, let ye say, or ya o wosu to me. Na fa na woni na mo a ogbonya ahoto sin se obi a owo su tu mi. Eni pe problem wo bi ase nyina ni owo. Na Yesu wo sa owo su tu mi. Ti se owo sa Yesu ye a, e den na ehia wo bi ase mi. If you have given your life to him sincerely from your heart, as I always say, sincerely from your heart. He said in the verse 22 there. People just go and hear the gospel and say, oh, I've given my life. Yesterday we heard many of them. I've given my life to Christ. I've accepted Jesus Christ as my personal savior. As if Christ is forcing himself on them as my personal savior, and I've done this. So it is not that. It is sincerely from your heart that you are believing as he's teaching. This word that he's saying, the truth about life. Have you believed in that? If you are believing that, there's no fear even over death. Because the Bible says appointed unto man to die once, everybody will die. But where you go after death, it's the most important thing. And here Christ is telling you that if you believe in him, and even you die during the resurrection, you come back again and you will be where he is. So if you have given your life to him, death shouldn't be a problem. You shouldn't fear death. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20-25, Christ is risen from the dead and become the first fruit of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ, the first fruit, afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Those who have given their life to him at his coming, which will rise. And he is a faithful witness. This is coming from Christ, not from any other person. The person that we can trust. So it means that if we repent of our sins and trust in him as our Savior, first, we will be forgiven of all our sins. Our inherited sins, our own sins, and even our sins to come. We will be cleansed from our sins. We will be reconciled to God. Then we will also come back to life, to eternal life, when Christ comes. We shall also rise from the grave. We will be with him. Now, and some of you have been coming to me, they may say, asema yesu kia jese se ye nya enu hu na se ye de ya bre abo yina e shene sa ye sene fo bwani fache wadi ya bwani cheye no maye au kufra diye edikanu ye bwani yina acheye diye tosmi yenu wa huku ya hu ya cleanse wa tiye hu am ya beye holy diye tosmi yensa ye ni nyakupo nche mbeye bako adamu ye bwani ye ni nyakupo nche mche ye beye atanfu afede ye ni nyakupo ebeye bako. After you see it, it's also now. You better say, "I'm sorry, I call and come in here again." Oh heaven! Now you know the better now. Oh heaven! Now, any non kona omukai or say, after you so, he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Christ in verse 5, one or say, he's the prince of the kings of the earth. This is the third thing that we are told about Christ. So that whether authorities or principalities or whoever, presidents, prime ministers, kings, whoever, Christ has authority over them. He has authority over everybody. And that is why he will bring judgment. Lead them to do their life, do whatever, deceive the people, there will be judgment. For Christ is the ruler. He has control over every authority in this world. Matthew 28, verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. And you say, oh yeah, and the prayer for uncle, and I said, no, no, be out of the sorry, or Samson, or Hene, or we are seeing, or no, we are seeing now. So, or to me, or I him for so, or to me, our president so, or to me, our Obiaso, even families, our personal homes, he has power over us. He rules us. He rules our families. So this rule of Christ extends to every institution, no matter who you are. Like I said, first, he has authority over the government. If you turn to Proverbs 2, verse 21, verse 9, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whatever he wants. The king's heart. Or he no kwa na kuma no ewo onyakoponse ewo yesu no nse o yen said yope onu le wiase ye ne dia. Second, owo to me ewo authority, so he has power, authority over the church. Jesus is the head of the church, and he detects the teachings and the practice. So when we meet in the church, it's not like everybody is thinking of what we must do. No, what does Christ say? The church belongs to him. That's why he said, I will build my church and the gate of hell can never be built against my... He is the one who has authority over the church. So the church must be run according to his rule, according to his direction, his authority. So the teaching and the practice is all controlled by Christ. The third thing, Christ has authority over the family. In our own homes, the father, the mother, and the children, Christ has authority over us. Even though the father is the head of the family, the father is also accountable to Christ as to how he brings up his children, how he keeps the home. All this Christ has authority over. He has also authority over every individual. And especially, You are accountable to him. He will ask you one day. So no one is exempt from his laws and judgments. Whether you are an institution or whoever you are under Christ. And his rule is not only universal. It is also a righteous rule. Righteous. Unlike our leaders and our government, he rules with perfect justice. That is why no sin will go unpunished. Otherwise, he won't be righteous. Every sin must be punished. And that is the more reason why you need him. To bear your sins in him. So that when you come and meet God, God sees you as Christ. But not as, because no human being can say that he will never sin. But sin must be punished. Otherwise, God will not be fair. God, no. So his rule is a righteous rule. No sin will go unpunished. In the same way, no obedience will go unrewarded. But if be any honor ma obefa wo wadi, but ni obey bia so aketua ho, enti na se ohia Yesu. Na ono oje obani no e ma ne ho. Na uko Awurade ni ma Awurade ku se Yesu. Na nye se wo ankasa. E na but ni bia sa obey no. In the same way, you'll be rewarded if you also truly follow his way. So his rule, he has authority over everybody, every individual, every church. His rule is also a righteous rule. His rule is also an everlasting rule. Onona hinie no, anu e nchada. Iwi asa hinie, anusi. Or Henny, yet this is who are, if you are in the tunnel, if you also know who is who are president, your two abundance will lose us. But yes, soon you rule forever and ever. You see, the kings of the earth, they come and go, and but the rule of our Lord is forever and ever. In the verse 8, he said, but unto the Son, he said, that throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So, yes, you know. Or only rule here forever and ever. So his rule is universal. It is righteous and it's also everlasting. And then when between verse 5 and 6, it says, unto him that loved us. Our time is running, so I have to just rush and then we go through what he has done. He has loved us. In fact, when we consider our depravity, when Adam sinned and we all became sinful, we don't deserve any kindness at all. And yet, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he loved us. In spite of all our sins. Daniel 9 verse 10 says, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. And you know, boni aye ye nuka ye nyane doda. And so ye boni imu no. And now, or chere do edishe. By laying down his life on the cross of Calvary for our sins to be for forgiveness. John 15 verse 7, he said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. So Christ, the love for us is so great, if you consider it. And how did he show this love? By removing the sin that cast it from God. But ni ana etwe fi Yakobo ho no. Yesu eye fi ho. Amaso ba ni dia fi do ni Yakobo ho aba ba ye ba. Secondly, by providing the righteousness that drew us together. Like I said, God must see you as a perfect person. And nobody can be perfect. So when you believe in Christ, that's what we call imputation. He imputes his righteousness unto you. So that when you go and meet God, God sees you as Christ. Yes, the way I'm saying is that it's not so obedient means so on your good morning. Or no coin in the poor baby, I see a 1 year born either. It is over in the idea, not only born in a 1 year done, or the amount, or the assurance so what are you. It is all could be a couple of horn, and who say yes, and who said they want us out here. All this he has done for us, and he has reconciled us to God. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 33 says, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I loved thee. So he has loved us despite our depravity, our wickedness, and our sins. The second thing he has done is that he has washed us from our sins. In the verse 5 says that, in his own blood. You see, the word washed there, it means that it was previously unclean. Otherwise, there is no need to wash. Say, he has washed us from our sins. Wahoku yahu, efi yabwani ninaem. Now, because it's obvious to be out who be home, and I just say, sadi and who will fin. I just say, yes, I will go home. And he has washed us from our sins and he has made us clean. He has washed us from our sin and iniquity, which defiles us. Sin defiles us, so we are unclean. Obi our tibon will be and we are unclean. Yes, I will create free sati bianu, edia ba, onyakupon, and tip. I don't need the next thing I mind. Say, your cost to cast a year can't go say baby because I was a king. Time you won't see what kind of from verses going in now. Why are you kings? Why are you just a handful? Friend, we know that we can never be clean before God because Hebrews verse 9:22 says, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. So, you shame what you have about the fact you have. America can know. A moja so ye fear go say ye moja boni bien you. A ye a moja fina kupon. And no any yesu moja na obi fee a gumaya. And the yesu abaya ama ye na no. And no exe will say, and dinti na utiho. Not the yesu ayama yenu. Unyahu emphaso. Why is it that there are so many regions in this world, even in Ghana here? So, go and see today as I was coming. Everybody. If you are Shantari, if you are Omine, Hosanna, Hosanna, Omun Tiasia. Because Omun Tiasia and Kasas, some of your years, Kibu peace, and we are him. Kibu Hawa, and you are going to be home, and you are working in Nano, a bear, yard man, or your problem. Or since a master of the external, now what Shamimua, beside the OPBM, the mouth. Fasten would how many people are benefiting from this? It means we have not really come to understand Christ. We are not giving our life to him as we should, so that we will be benefiting from all this. As I come to an end, Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, when the leper approached our Lord and Savior, he said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. This is what Jesus says today to everyone who hear and see himself as unclean. Do you see yourself as unclean? The man, the leper went there because he had that leprosy. As a mkona, Jesus catch us, unipe is a kwateni. Kwata, babu, babu di boni, e di, kase, sele kwata tienu. Kwata e yewa, e di biko o unemu. Se e yewa unsa, unsa sasu inebe kukri, ebe kwa sa, ba unemu ina, di sana, sana boni su tie. Bonnie Sunya and Yabau Sua, a sail with Nipediano. Now, when we are going to sell our quarter into a course, it was years to say, oh, pa, open my quarter a finish. And years to say, okay, may pay. My quarter infuse, a hand, a quarter infuse. In the same way, today, as we used to say, I can say, so would you say, we are the Moeni? I would say, you should be me as our action with everybody anymore. How many day? I said, why am I quarter? Obey the same thing. He will do the same thing for you, he will cleanse you. He will make you clean. He will reconcile you to God. And then all the promises in the Bible will apply in your life. Your prayers will be answered. Our prayers are not answered because we have not really come to understand Christ and given our life to him as we should. We have taken it lightly. Oh, by the way, now, when we are saying, so now we're here to obey. No, you can't live like that. You have to be completely, you have to know who he is, what he has done, and appreciate it, and commit your life to him.